All right, folks, God bless you. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 119, Psalm 119 and verse 40, Psalm 119 and verse 140 as we begin our thoughts this morning. It's hard to believe, but this morning will be the 20th lesson in the series, Hold Firm to the Foundation, the Defense of the King James Bible. We'd advertised at the beginning that we would go for 20 weeks. This is week 20, and we're not stopping today. If the Lord tarries his coming, we're going to finish it up, and it'll take just a few more lessons to finish up the thoughts we want to share with you on this subject. Psalm 119, verse 140, as we begin our thoughts this morning. Also, if you have your notes with you, we'll be starting on page 103 of your notes. Page 103, why do they keep making English translations of the Bible? Why do they keep doing that? Psalm 119, verse 140, the Bible says this. The Bible says, Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, the Bible says this, Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Every word of God is pure. With those two verses before us, I want to read one verse in the book of Acts, chapter 27 and verse 25, and the Bible says this, Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Folks, if I could borrow the words of the Apostle Paul there, I'd tell you folks this morning, I've got good news. I want you to be of good cheer. I want you to know that it's just exactly like God has said it. I want to proclaim to you this morning that every word of God is pure, just like the Bible says in Psalm 119 and Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. I want you to have the confidence this morning that your King James Bible is the pure and the perfect Word of God. You see, it's as simple as this, folks. I simply believe God. I simply believe God that it is exactly like the Bible says. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. Either the Word of God is pure or the Word of God is not pure. Brother Ray, would you take this back and hand it to these folks that just came in right here, please, sir? Thank you so much. Folks, God bless you. It's good to see you this morning. Thank you so much for being here. We're on page 103 in the notes there, page 103. The Bible says that it's pure. Those that promote the critical text say that it's not. I won't reteach all that we've taught over these weeks. The critical text, though, I don't want anybody to be confused. The critical text, I'm referring by that phrase to every copy of the Bible in English that's not the King James Bible. The critical text is different than your King James Bible. The King James Bible is the perfect, infallible, inspired Word of God for English-speaking people. And no other English version is. It's really as simple as that. The Bible says it's pure. I believe God. I believe that it is. And folks, it's as simple as matter as this. Either it is or it isn't. Either the King James Bible is the Word of God in English, or there is no Bible. Are you listening? Either the King James Bible is the Word of God in English, or there is no Bible in the English language. Because those that created the critical text, that text from which all these other versions come from, those that created the critical text tell us in their own writings that we don't have the Word of God and that it's impossible to ever find the real Word of God. You see, they believe that if the Word of God was ever originally given by God, that it's been lost and it's got to be found. The Bible proclaims that God did give it, that God has preserved it, that it's never been lost, that the people of God have always had it, And I'm glad to be able to share that with you and to proclaim it to you this morning. We saw in section 5 of our study that there have been almost 500 translations of the Bible in English. That's not a misprint. Almost 500. I gave you a list in your notes in section 5. I gave you a list of just some simple research that I did. I only started in 1881, and I came from 1881 until now. And I only listed for you the ones that I could find a copyright date for. There's a lot of other ones that are out there. But if I couldn't find, I used some criteria that I just made up. So I'm not telling you that it's an exhaustive list, but it sure is long enough to make my point. I've listed 100-something different English translations for you. And in that, as we looked at that list, I added to that a list by Dr. D.A. Waite. And Dr. D.A. Waite did a rather exhaustive list that came from the very beginning, very first English translations until 1991 is when his list ended. When I combined his list with the ones that were on my list from 1991 until now, we came up with 496 different English translations of the Bible. Now, with that thought in mind, I want to ask you a question. Why in the world do they keep making English translations of the Bible? Folks, there's been 496. Oh, wait a minute. I just read to you last week a recent article in the Sword of the Lord. They just came out with another one. So it's an ongoing process. By the way, in section 5 of the notes that you have, I listed 10 translations besides the ones that are already out. I listed 10 more that are in the process that are going to come out when they finish them. Now, my question to you this morning is this. Why do they keep making English translations of the Bible? There's 5 reasons why they're doing it. There's 5 reasons. I want to share those. Folks, I'm not mad this morning. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. I'm not here to call people names this morning. I don't want you to think I'm just a hard and a rough guy this morning. But I do want to tell you the truth of it because, you see, the world is not telling you the truth. Those that are promoting these false versions of the Bible, they're lying to you and telling you things that are not true, and you need to hear the truth of the matter. Why are they making English translations of the Bible? I want to make several statements before I give you those 5 things. Number 1, I do not believe that there's been a single English translation in the past several decades that was done from a pure heart with a view of glorifying Jesus Christ and edifying the true believers that make up the body of Christ. I believe that every English version printed over the past several decades is a counterfeit of the true Word of God, the King James Bible. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, do you not believe that the New International Version and the New King James Version and the English Standard Version and the on and on and on and on we go? You mean you don't believe that they're the Word of God at all? No, they're not the Word of God at all. They are perversions of the Word of God. The Bible proclaims in Jeremiah 23, 26 and 36, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. And the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of the host, our God. You see, folks, there are false prophets that are set on perverting the Word of God, and that's what's happening with all of these translations of the Bible. I do not believe that any of the modern perversions are a benefit or a blessing. I believe that all they've done is cause confusion, which is not of God. Confusion is of the devil. The Bible proclaims in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. If you don't think that they're causing confusion, if we had taken the time to set this up, we could bring 6 or 8 different English versions in here. We could pick out a verse and we could say, okay, we're going to read in unison thus and so verse from the Bible. We've got 6 or 8 different translations and all of us start reading in unison. You talk about confusion when we're all reading different words that's supposed to be the same verse. Folks, that's where the confusion is. You see, there wouldn't be any confusion if everybody just used the pure and perfect Word of God. I'm not buying into that. I'm not letting them nail it on me and say, well, those of you that are standing for the King James Bible just want to cause confusion. Folks, that's not it at all. We were here first. God gave His perfect and pure Word before any of these perversions ever saw the light of day, and I'll not accept that handle of causing confusion. I believe the multiplicity of English Bible perversions destroys faith in the Word of God. Our responsibility before Almighty God is to conform to His Word and to His will and not to continually rewrite the Word of God to make it say what we want it to say. You know what David Gibbs said one time? Dr. David Gibbs said, you don't help people by giving them more of what they already have. Folks, you don't help people by giving them a perversion of the Word of God if they don't already have the Word of God. By the way, you don't help them by giving them a perversion of the Word of God if they do have the true Word of God, the King James Bible. I believe the acceptance of critical text versions of the Bible is a step of doubt and not a step of faith. Could I ask you a question? Would you say that it's all right for a person not to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? If you think about the question, I don't think anybody would say that. You know it's not all right for a person not to trust Jesus Christ. If they don't trust Jesus Christ, they're not saved. If they're not saved, they're not going to heaven. Now, you may change the question. Here's what you would say. You would say, I believe that every person has the freedom to choose whether or not they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's an accurate statement and one I believe that all of you would agree with. We would all understand that everyone does have the freedom. I can't make anyone get saved. I can't choose for anyone for them to get saved. And every person has the freedom to choose for themselves whether they'll trust Jesus Christ or not. But folks, we sure wouldn't say it's all right. Because if they don't, they're not going to heaven and they are going to a terrible place called hell. Folks, I wouldn't say that it's all right. Based on that, I wouldn't say that it's all right for somebody to choose a critical text version of the Bible. Now stay with me. Nobody in this room has to give an account to me. Nobody in this room has ever given account to me for anything. No one in this room is ever going to give an account to me for anything. I'm totally irrelevant in this subject. I'm trying to get you to see something. Even though you'll never give an account to me, I would never characterize someone accepting a critical text version of the Bible as being all right. I would say they have the freedom to do that if they choose. But I would never say that it's all right because, folks, it's not all right. It's not all right. To choose a critical text version of the Bible is a step of doubt and not a step of faith. To accept one of these modern perversions is to go away from God and not to go toward God. To surrender the King James Bible for one of these new Bibles is to put faith in the ungodly men who created them instead of believing God. It puts a person in a downward path from which you may never recover spiritual vitality and victorious faith. Folks, people have the freedom to choose whatever they want. But it's not all right to choose something that's not the Word of God. It'll do great damage to you spiritually. I believe that the acceptance of critical text Bibles is to compromise true spiritual virtue and to disobey the clear command of Scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, the Bible declares, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." I believe it's to violate that rule of Scripture. It is spiritual compromise which, if not corrected, will gradually result in compromise in every area of life. Now, I want you to listen to this. It is spiritual compromise which, if not corrected, will gradually result in compromise in every area of life. Churches or individuals who depart from the true Word of God will sooner or later compromise in purity of life and purity of doctrine. You say, "Brother Kirkpatrick, that's a hard statement that you just made. That's pretty mean sounding." Folks, I'm not trying to be mean before God Almighty. But folks need to know the truth. You see, here's the foundation. The foundation of all of our faith. Folks, everything we know about spiritual things is in the Word of God. Everything we know about Jesus and salvation is in the Word of God. Everything about heaven and hell is in the Word of God. Everything about the Christian life is in the Word of God. Everything about prayer is in the Word of God. Once you let go of the foundation, once you let go of the Word of God and no longer have anything that's absolute to go by, folks, everything will eventually go by the wayside. I challenge you to study. I have. I challenge you to study the churches that have let go of the Word of God and went to the modern version. Those are the churches that, if they're not doing it now, 5 or 10 years from now, those are the churches that'll be having the dances in the fellowship hall of the church. Those are the churches that'll just invite the world and everything about the world into their services. Why is that? It's because it's a spiritual process, folks. When you let go of the foundation of the Word of God, eventually, won't happen overnight usually, eventually, once the foundation has been destroyed, and there are no absolutes, once that happens, we start a spiritual downward path. A person can recover from that. Unfortunately, most people never do. Most people never do. Why do they make all of these different English versions of the Bible? I'm troubled that many Christians even today, in light of all the information that's available on the subject, many Christians even today still believe that there's something good and noble in it. Many Christians want to give the benefit of the doubt to those that create these modern versions and think, well, they mean to do well and they're trying to do good. Folks, just the absolute opposite of that is the truth. They don't mean well and they're not trying to do good. It's exactly the opposite. 5 reasons that I've got to give you. I don't have much time. And I want to give you these this morning. Number one, look in your notes if you have them on the bottom of page 104. Number one, guess what it is? What is that symbol in the middle there? A copyright symbol. Why are they creating all of these modern versions? The number one noble reason is money. I read to you last week. I wish I'd have brought it. I still got it. The article in the Sword of the Lord about the new version that just came out recently. And you remember I read it to you last week? They've already had to have 3 printings of it in just a matter of 2 or 3 months, and they've sold over 55,000 copies. What is that? Man, the dollar signs are ringing in their eyes. I mean, they're raking in the dough. Why do they print all these versions? The number one reason is money. Folks, why do you think they have a copyright on it? No, I'm not saying that it's wrong to write things and make money. I am saying that it's wrong to write, quote, Bibles just to make money. The number one noble reason for the multitude of modern Bible versions is that publishers want to make money. They do not care about God. They do not care about the Word of God. They do not care for the souls of the multitudes. And dear friends, they don't care about you. They care about money. The number one reason, why do they keep writing one after another, publishing one after another, why do they keep doing that? It's because they want to make money. I'm not going to read all of this. You'll have it before you, and you're just going to need to, if you're interested enough to study it, you can read this on your own. Page 105, I talk about Zondervan. Zondervan is the one that owns the rights to the New International Version. You read it. They hit a gold mine with the NIV. They made tens of millions of dollars, and they still are. By the way, you folks do know that the NIV came out with their latest version just this year. So you see, if you had a NIV before this year, the one that you've got, it was copyrighted in 1984. It's all been changed now. You see, it's obsolete. Your Word of God is obsolete because Zondervan came out with the 2011 version of the NIV, and they've changed it like they do in all of them. They've changed it in thousands of places from the 1984 model that you had. Why'd they do that? Money. Got to keep that dough rolling, folks. I mean, you got to keep it rolling in. Why did they come out? Do you think that it's a coincidence that they came out with it in 2011? No, it's not a coincidence. 2011 is the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible, May of 2011. That's the reason we're having this study. We started the first Sunday in May. Why? Because the first Sunday in May marked the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. Why did Zondervan come out with a 2011 version of the NIV in 2011? They knew that this anniversary of the Word of God, the King James Bible, would create interest in the Bible, and they knew that sales would skyrocket if they came out with their new one in 2011. Boy, 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 boy. Zondervan has the copyright to the NIV. They were raking in the dough. Thomas Nelson Publishers, they were getting upset. They were getting upset because they were losing market share. Zondervan was making money. They had a cash cow in the NIV. Thomas Nelson was kind of flat in sales. They said, you know what, we've got to do something. We've got to do something. So what did Thomas Nelson Publishers do? Thomas Nelson Publishers called a series of meetings. In 1975 in Chicago, Illinois, and Nashville, Tennessee. In 1976 in London, England, Thomas Nelson Publishers called together a series of meetings. They invited church leaders from all denominations. By the way, not a single person involved that really believed that they had the Word of God. Thomas Nelson Publishers called a series of meetings to consult with religious leaders from various denominations about creating a new version of the Bible. The end result of those meetings was the New King James Version. Now, folks, do you understand? You do understand the significance of what I just said to you. The reason that the New King James Version exists is not because there was a need for it, not because there was anything wrong with the King James Bible, not because dedicated, born-again, God-serving Christians wanted a new Bible. The New King James Version exists because Thomas Nelson Publishers was getting their socks beat off financially by Zondervan Publishing, who has the copyright for the NIV, and they said, we got to come up with a new Bible that'll boost our sales and rake in some more money. So there you have it. By the way, they're so dishonest. They're so dishonest. The Revised Standard Version, the people that print the Revised Standard Version, they came out with a sales pitch, and here's what it said. It says, yet the King James Version has grave defects. By the middle of the 19th century, the development of biblical studies and the discovery of many manuscripts more ancient than those upon which the King James Version were based made it manifest that defects were so many and so serious as to call for revision of the English translation. All that's a lie. We've already proved that. But their sales pitch for the Revised Version was, we know now that the King James Bible is so bad that we got to have a new Bible. So that was their sales pitch. So they came out with a Revised Standard Version because the King James Bible is so bad. Well, Listen to the sales pitch for the New King James Bible. It's just the opposite. It says, along with the awakened concern for the classics came a flourishing companion interest in the Scriptures, an interest that is enlivened by the conviction that the manuscripts were providentially handed down and were a trustworthy record of the Word of God. Talking about the manuscripts upon which our King James Bible is based. They went on to say that, you know, these other versions, the Revised Standard Version, these other versions, like the Revised Standard Version, they're based on the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus, and we know now that those manuscripts are corrupt, and therefore it's necessary to have an updated version from the proper manuscripts. Now, here's the rest of the story. I'm going to be Paul Harvey now for just a second, if I could. I want to tell you the rest of the story. So, which is the true representative of final authority? Or who's right? Who's right? Were the publishers of the Revised Standard Version that said that the King James manuscripts were all wrong, were they right? Or were the publishers of the New King James Bible that said the manuscripts that the Revised Standard Version were written from were all wrong? Which one of them is right? Well, you get some insight when you realize that the publisher of the Revised Standard Version is Thomas Nelson Publishers. And the publisher of the New King James Bible is Thomas Nelson Publishers. So folks, you've got the same publisher publishing two Bibles, one from the critical text and one supposedly from the Textus Receptus that our King James Bible came from. Only it's not, mind you. They lie about that too. But in their sales pitches, they say that they do. So you got the same publisher that says these older manuscripts are better and we've got the Revised Standard Version because the King James Version is all wrong. And then they say, no, that Revised Standard Version is based on those other manuscripts and they're not right. We know that now. And this one is correct. You've got the same publisher, folks, because they don't care about God. And they don't care about you, and they don't care about the Word of God. They care about making money, so they have no problem whatsoever with publishing from any manuscript that's out there as long as they can get you to pay money for it. Turn real quickly to page 127 of your notes, the top of the page. 127. One of the lies that's told about these from these modern versions, they tell us, well, we need a new modern version, something other than King James Bible, because the King James Bible is too hard to understand, and we need a Bible in modern English that people can understand better. All of that's wrong, but that's what they say. But folks, here's what the truth of the matter is. The truth of the matter is that scientific tests have shown that the King James Bible is easier to read than any of these modern versions. There's a reason for that. And the reason is these same copyright laws that we're talking about now. Why do they keep printing them? Because they want to copyright them and make money. But in order to get a copyright, every version that comes out has to be different than every other version that's already out. Every version that comes out has to be changed, never mind that it's already been done over 490 some odd times. Never mind that. Everyone that comes out has to be changed and made different from every other one that's already out. You see, why does the New King James Bible and all others use harder words than the King James Bible? Because the copyright laws insist that to be copyrightable, a derivative work must be different enough from the original to be regarded as a new work, or must contain a substantial amount of new material, making minor changes or additions of little substance to a pre-existing work will not qualify. That word is supposed to be qualify there instead of quality. Will not qualify the work as a new version for copyright purposes. The last sentence of that paragraph says, because of this copyright law, there will never be an easier to read Bible than the King James Bible. The next time somebody tries to tell you that we needed to change the King James Bible because we needed a Bible that's easier to read, I want you to know, and I'm trying to be nice here, they're either ignorant or they're lying. One or the other. There's no in between. They either just don't know what they're talking about, which is usually the case. They've heard somebody make that statement and they just pass it on. They're either ignorant, or if they do know the truth, they are lying and trying to deceive you and get you away from the true Word of God. Why do they keep making all of these other versions of the Bible? Number one, it's because of money. By the way, the New King James Version claims to be almost just like the King James Bible. David Cloud states that the New King James Bible makes thousands of unnecessary changes. Now, listen, I want you to get this. There are an estimated 100,000 changes, averaging 80 changes per page, that were probably made for copyright reasons. The New King James Bible claims to be almost just like your King James Bible, and yet, folks, it has about 100,000 changes, about 80 changes on every page of it, and those changes were made for copyright reasons. You understand what I'm saying, folks? Nobody can make a new version of the Bible and it be accurate. It's impossible because of the copyright laws. It's already been done almost 500 times, and every time another one comes out, it has to be different from every other one that's ever came out. And folks, it's an impossibility to have an accurate, modern English translation of the Bible. It cannot be done. And if anybody tells you that it can be, they are either ignorant or they're lying. You say, that's hard. I'm sorry. That's the exact truth of the matter. What are the other reasons? A second reason that they come out with these Oh, by the way, it's not just, lest you get the impression, and I'm not going to finish here now, I realize that. I might as well just quit trying to hurry. Unless you get the impression that it's just the New King James Bible, folks, there's nothing special about the New King James or the NIV. I use those two because they're popular, but they just represent all the rest. They're all the same. Gail Ripplinger, Dr. Gail Ripplinger, states in her tract called On New Age Bible Versions that all editions of the NIV and the New American Standard Bible are not the same. For example, the New American Standard Bible, which has been revised 6 times, it has 24,338 changes and 6,966 new omissions just between its 1994 and its 1995 version. Can you imagine? They came out with a Bible in 1994. They said, this is the Bible. And in 1995, they came out with a revision of it, and they changed it 30-something thousand times. Wow. You see, folks, there's nothing noble about this. They're not doing this from a pure heart. They're not trying to help the cause of Christ. This is the work of the devil that's trying to destroy people's confidence in the Word of God. I'm out of time. I'll have to finish up next week. But I want to leave you with this thought. You personally don't have to be alarmed by any of this. All you got to do is just stay with the King James Bible. For 400 years, God has proven this to be the Word of God by His blessings and His sanction on it. Every great revival in the last 400 years that you have ever heard of or read about was wrought through the King James Bible. The King James Bible is the most used of God, complete Bible that the world has ever known. Did you realize that the early church, the Church of the Apostles, never had all the books of the Bible together in one place at any time? The Apostle John, who died in about 100 A.D., who wrote the book of Revelation, he was the last of the apostles to live. The book of Revelation was the last book written. You see, until that was written, nobody ever had a complete copy of the written Word of God. The King James Bible is the holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. You can believe it and base your eternity on it, and you'll be just fine. Heavenly Father, bless us now. Have your way in hearts and lives. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.